Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
We'll be right back to today's show, but before we do, I want to let you know that you can get a free copy of my first book, Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma, when you leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcasts, either on desktop or on your phone. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcasts, look up Think Unbroken, click follow in the top right, and then go and leave a review at the bottom. And when you leave that review, screenshot it and send it over to book.thinkunbroken.com. where you can upload your contact and mailing information, and we will send you a free copy of this award-winning best-selling book, absolutely free, including shipping. Just go to book.thinkunbroken.com to upload your screenshot review from Apple Podcasts for the Think Unbroken podcast. And until next time, my friend, be unbroken. I'll see ya. You're listening to the Think Unbroken podcast, and I'm your host, Michael Unbroken. I'm an author, speaker, coach, and advocate for adult survivors of childhood trauma and abuse. In this podcast, you will learn how to transform your trauma into triumph, turn breakdowns into breakthroughs, and go from victim to being the hero of your own story. You can learn more at thinkunbrokenpodcast.com, and of course, check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at Think Unbroken Podcast. Hey, what's up, Unbroken Nation? Hope that you're doing well wherever you are in the world today. I'm very excited to be back with you with another episode with my friend, Coach Stormy Wellington. Stormy, my friend, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am so excited to be here with you, seeing all of your success. And I know a little bit about your journey. Makes me proud and also honored. So thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you. Likewise, for sure. You know, I think about people who come from similar backgrounds as you and I, and when you come through, it will either make you or it will break you. And I very rarely find anyone who's like in the middle and life's just okay. You know, it's either life is crazy or life is super good. And so I'm wondering, what's something about your past that we would need to understand to know who you are today?
Oh, wow. Great question. You know what? What I think about is when I used to be in the strip club. A lot of people don't understand when I say I used to be a dancer. It's like, based upon who I am now, it's like they can't really see that phase of my life. But being in a strip club as early as 13 years old, to be able to turn on my water back home because my mom was in the street selling drugs, to have that experience at 13, it transforms you. You know, it wasn't my fault. I was a kid. But to be in that environment and to see men and to understand the hustle and to understand the resilience and the fight and the challenge of trying to be in competition really with other women is a lot of the same attributes that I use today in terms of how I build my business. And so a lot of people don't know that, you know, I believe that the thing that you experience is preparing you for something else. And so I will say that, you know, from the age of about 13 to the age of about 19, I probably spent about 3 years as a real exotic dancer as a way to provide for my children. So you won't really be able to really wrap your head around why did she fight so hard? Why is she aggressive the way she is? Why is she so resilient? Why is she so like unstoppable? It's because I remember that phase of my life. And I truly believe that, you know, I have a daughter. I have a 23-year-old daughter. My son just turned 27 yesterday, and I have a 9-year-old. But when I had my daughter, I didn't want her to think that that was okay. Because, you know, of course, when we watch our parents, we tend to think whatever they do is okay. And then later on in life, you learn, no, that wasn't okay. So I would have to say the era of my life that I was a stripper, I helped a lot in me becoming the woman I am today.
Yeah, that's almost insane for people to fathom, right? And, and people hear these stories and they go, how is that possible? And I'm like, you know, at 8 years old, I was stealing water across the street from our neighbor's house because of my mom's drug addiction, right? We didn't have water. We didn't have food. It is survival at its finest. And there's a resilience that's built into that, unfortunately, right? Like, I will always caveat that. Like, I would have much rather grown up in Grant Cardone's house, trust me. You know what I'm saying? But like, we look at the, we look at what we come from, and you can't change that. But, you know, Stormy, so many people get buried by those experiences and they cannot make it out. You know, I look at my three childhood best friends were murdered. I got family in prison for life. It's almost impossible to be here right now. And I see people like you. And I remember the first time I saw you speak. I don't remember where it was, but I remember the feeling of it. And me being like, my God, this is inspiring. Because it's very rarely that I sit across from someone and I think to myself, I really can do anything. Because look what they've done. How did you pull yourself through that? Like going and tracking this chaos in childhood, having a child very young, strip clubs as a baby. I mean, you're a baby. Like, how in the world do you pull yourself out of that?
So, can I be honest, or you want me to give you a facade?
No, I want the truth always.
Okay, so I heard you say a little curse word, so I think you're a little bit ratchet and raw on here. Is that true?
That's 100%.
Man, I think I'm amazing. I look at myself as, man, look what I came from. Look what I grew through. Look what I went through to become the woman I am today. So I draw strength from it. I'm proud. I'm like, damn, I did that. You know, I could have felt like I was a victim. I could have played the victim. I could have been upset with my mom. I could have been mad with my dad. But instead, I realized that the truth is my mom had trauma and was broken. My dad had trauma and was broken. And so they did the best that they could with what they had. And so here it is. I am Stormy Wellington, because that's where God decided to place me. He decided to place me with these parents that gave me life experiences as my life lesson. So I don't look at it as a negative. I look at it as that was my school. That was my preparation. And I would have much rather grew up in Grant Cardone's house too, but that's not the house I grew up in. You know, I grew up in the Wellington Barclay house. And so it is what it is. And honestly, I wouldn't have wanted it no other way. I'm grateful, because I feel like more people come from where we come from, Michael. More people come from broken families, broken households. And so it's not a whole lot of, you know, Grant Cardone houses around here. It's not. It's more houses like where we came from. So I look at it as a gift. It's a gift that we went through it and we are able to come out on the other side and to show other people that it's possible. I don't care how you start. It's how you finish.
Yeah, that's right. How do you get to that place mentally where you look at it as a gift? Because when I was growing up, Stormy, I just felt like God hates me. The world is against me. I would always just be like, why me? You know, it's really weird to have to be the poorest kid in the poorest school in the poorest neighborhood, right? And it just always felt like there was something that I was supposed to do that was great, right? I've had the pleasure and honor of like being able to witness you on stage and you witness me on stage, and we've been able to transform our lives. But I think people always get stuck in that victim. Like, and I always admit it, I've played the victim. Like, I have done that. I did it really well. I did it effectively. And there was something that was like, I'm pulling myself out of this no matter what. Like, was it just that you didn't have another choice?
So I think, first of all, here's why I believe exposure is everything. Like, you have to give your kids exposure and experiences. And as young as I can remember, I remember my mom having a lavish lifestyle. My mom always had a driver because she never learned how to drive. My mom, you know, for the most part, had money, even though she did spend some time in prison. But I remember my mom bringing around some of her friends. And this is my story, okay? Everybody's story may not be the same. But I remember seeing some of my mom's friends that were just fly. I remember she had a friend named Miss Pat, who, you know, was always fly. She always had a new Camry. She dressed real sexy. And I used to look at her and say, man, I want to be like her one day when I grow up. You know, my cousin, Michelle Bartley, she was a model. And all the men loved her. She was sexy and she had this way about herself, but she would always be dressed nice and she worked out. And I would see her and I would say, man, I would be like her one day when I grow up. So one of the blessings of my childhood is that my mom exposed me to a lot of things. So like now I have a driver. I know people probably think it's bougie, but like I grew up as a kid watching my mom have a driver. So a part of my DNA and just my subconscious mind is like, man, my mom had a driver. I want to drive. You know, my mom, you know, when she was free from prison, she had money, even though she got illegally. My mom sold drugs. My mom had workers. My mom had, you know, people that trafficked the drugs, sold the drugs, bought her money. And so me now being in network marketing, it's like I saw my mom do these things, but she did it for all reasons, you know, opposite of what I did it for. And I never forget the day I told my mom that I'm so inspired to not be like you. Like, I never forget the day I said, man, I'm so inspired by you. And she was getting excited. And I know that day I broke her because I said to her in the same sentence to not be like you, because I started to realize what she was doing and how much it was, you know, putting her life and livelihood, her freedom at risk. And so I think because of me being able to see the contrast of, okay, you know, we wasn't poor. My mom, we were just inconsistent, if that makes sense. Like, my mom would get her food stamps and we'll go to the grocery store. And I used to love when she got her food stamps because we'll be walking through the store with three buggies. I remember that as a kid, even though when we got to the cash register, I beelined to the bathroom because I used to be embarrassed of a food stamp card. But I remember we had food. You know, it wasn't a whole lot of coming home and not having food, only when she went to prison. And when she went to prison, that's when I was able to experience the stealing food from the friend's houses to eat. And I'm eating an oatmeal pie in the bathroom because if I ask them for it, they're going to tell me no. So I'm stuffing it in my mouth because I'm really hungry. You know, I remember the eating dinner with my friend's family because my mom was in Jamaica on her drug run and just pretty much left me to figure it out. And we ran out of food and she didn't collect her money. And so I remember my friend's moms making their plate and then making my plate. And I'll have one piece of chicken in half and five rice grains. But my friends will have an avalanche of rice and 10 pieces of chicken. And so it just made me decide that I don't want to be like that. So I really, Michael, I watch people and I decide if I like how they show up and do I want a piece of them to be me or if I don't like it. And so I do the opposite. So I do a lot of things like I'm quick to feed the kids. I love on everybody's kids because I remember when I was the stepchild, I remember when I was the forgotten child. I remember when I was the hungry child. And so I tend to think that because I was able to see a lot of things and experience a lot of things, I was able to decipher between who do Stormy Wellington really want to be because I saw the best of both worlds and the worst of worlds.
I actually resonate with that a lot. I remember one time I was at a friend's house and his uncle played for the Indiana Pacers. I don't think I've ever shared this story before. His uncle played with the Indiana Pacers. And so we went to their house up in Carmel, Indiana, which is like the number one city in America. It was voted best city in America. And so I walk in there and it's clean house. It is 5-6 bedrooms, BMWs in the front yard, motorcycles. They had a pool and a trampoline. And I looked at my house and I was like, I'm sleeping on a concrete floor. I have no bed. My mom is gone. And that exposure, God, that is such a powerful thing for a child. And that exposure to that environment made me go, one day I'm going to figure this out. And as the Unbroken Nation knows, by the time I was 25, I made $1 million, right? But wow. I I had lost it all. Let's not get it twisted. but what happened is I was so driven to this thing where I was like, I want something different. People often mistake confidence for arrogance. And I think people are terrified of confidence because you're one of the most confident people I've ever met in my life. And I know that people must, I would assume, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I would assume people look at you and go, she's arrogant. How do you become confident to the point where it's like you can do anything? Because this is the reason I made this show, Stormy, is that I wanted to give people permission to go be great, even though they come from backgrounds like us, and to show them that no matter what, this is absolutely possible. You can have what you want in life, but people are terrified to tap into their self, to their belief, to their intuition, to their heart, and to be that confident person. Where did confidence come from? How do you build it and how do you maintain it?
Wow, great question. So not to sound arrogant, but it's like when you know something because you've tried it and you've done it and you've seen it work, you know it works. It's kind of like your grandmother giving you the recipe to her, famous red velvet cake. She tell you exactly 5 scoops of flour, 1 stick of Lando lace butter. And she put Lando lace, you know, she puts a flour and she puts, make sure you put the oven at 450. She knows that this recipe is going to give you the output of her famous red velvet cake. I failed and succeeded so much from mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, relationally, that I call it my formula, right? And everybody has a formula. So I am not a religious girl. I am a spiritual girl. I used to be a religious girl. I remember I was strictly, the pastor said this, and this is what the pastor said, and this is what we gonna do. The prophet told me this, and the apostle told me this. And then after a while, I started to realize that, wait a minute, they're human just like me. They make errors just like me. If God told them something, why God ain't come and tell me? So I started to work on my spirit, having a relationship with God, knowing that you got big God and I'm little God. So I know that I have power. I have the power to speak a thing and it shall come to pass. I believe that a thought is a thing that you constantly believe to be true. And so I believe that whatever I believe to be true, I can make happen because I believe it to be true. I believe in principles. And so I try to do it all everybody else way. And every time I try to do it everybody else way, I'm literally, I could see the failure. And then when I do it the way that I know works, it always works. So I think that arrogance is when you have an air about yourself that you can't be, excuse me, with. And that's not true. I could be with. I could be. But I know how to not be with. So then for I become unfuck with them. So I know what my formula is, and I know that everybody has one. And so once I discovered it and I tested what life would be like doing what everybody else do. And I saw what the results was. And then I tested living life the way I learned to live it. And now it's like, I'm very peaceful. I don't let people bother me. I'm happy with myself. I don't need no entourage. I don't need no friends. I don't need you to like me. I don't need you to approve of me. I don't need you to understand me. Like, it just is what it is. I am Stormy Nicole Wellington, and I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know my assignment. I know what I ain't supposed to do. And I mean, that's just it. So it's not an arrogance. It's just, I am aware, you know, and it's confidence, you know, God is within me. And so therefore I cannot fail. So that's pretty much what it is. And I think when you've succeeded and failed and you did it multiple times, it's like, why am I doubting what I know to be true? I did it. I live a life people dream of, right? And nobody gave me nothing. And I've helped so many people that you would have never thought could have even been helped. So why should I doubt what I already know I know? Because I've done it. And I've done it multiple times. Everything that I say I know it because it worked. If that makes sense.
100%. This is obviously not the Grant Cardone show, but I need to say this. So I was speaking at one of his boot camps, and I won this speak off that he did, and he invested $10,000 into Think Unbroken, right? And you know this, Grant doesn't give people money. And so that was such a powerful moment. And he sat across from me and he said, Michael, man, you need to take your flowers. And I never heard anyone tell me this before. I always bring this up on the show because it's such an important thing, because it ties into what you just said. It's about acknowledging your greatness. Like, you did something amazing. And people, I think about this a lot. We're told to be humble. Stand in the back of the room, raise your hand to go to the bathroom. You do something great. Oh, it's everybody else's thing. But Stormy, sometimes it's you. You pulled yourself out of the world is against you. And yet people feel like they're not allowed to like raise their hand and be like, I'm great. Like, how do you have this formula, which I think is really beautiful and powerful. And I do too. And so much of it is based on the past and going, I did that. I know I can do this over here. Most people are terrified to acknowledge their greatness. How do you step into that? Like, as a, if I were sitting with you, let's go through this real quick. Cause as Coach Stormy, I think I'd be remiss not to ask this question. I'm sitting across from you. I hear your story. Stormy goes, yeah, I got the formula. I did this. And I'm telling you, Stormy, I just don't believe in myself. How do I become like you? How do I do the thing that Stormy has done? How do I do the thing that Michael's done? I see you guys, but it doesn't seem like it's for me, but you have everything. What am I missing?
So the first thing that I would tell you, so we got to understand, like, man is maker of himself. Man is made and unmade by his daily choices and decisions. Like, that's the number one thing that everybody in this world has to know. Man is maker of himself. Man is made and unmade by every choice and every decision that he had ever made. You are living in your imagination, Michael. Things happen three times in life. And I talked about this yesterday, and I give it to the Unbroken Nation as a gift. And I want y'all to listen to this real slow. Things happen three times in life. Okay, when you're a kid, you can't say this. This is not this. When you're a kid, or if you're mentally challenged, or if you have some disorders or some disabilities or some handicap, I get it. Well, I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about able-bodied men and women. We have to know, number one, everything happens in the mind first. Everything we see right now, somebody thought about. You know, this is, I love this saying, Mike. I did not think of this. I could have never thought of this. I knew I needed something like this. This goes in my purse. I could pull it out. Look, boom, boom, boom. It even come with a remote control. I never used it. Throw it back in my purse. It's done. Somebody thought of this in their imagination. They saw it, number one. Number two, they did the work to create it. So they went through the manufacturers. They drew it out. They probably drew it out on a pencil and a paper, and they probably didn't know what. They just drew it. So the second thing is they did the work. So it happened the second time because they did it. And now it's done. So now we have it. But you know when a person really experiences life? You know, do you know when this person gets the gratitude for this? Not just the money. The money is one thing. But what gives this person the gratitude is when he sees people using it. So the reflection of the thing you thought about is the real glory. The real excitement is when you sit back and be like, damn, I'm really Michael. Even though I was hungry as a kid and I stole, even though I was abused or beaten and molested and abandoned and talked about, and I watched my mom do drugs, you'd be like, look at Michael. Look at me. Or you become a bum and you'd be an alcoholic and you know, and you sit back and be like, damn, look at me. So at the end of the day, You got to know that man is maker of himself. So I would tell this person, like, look at your life. You decided it. You went to that college. You dated that man. You dated that woman. You accepted that relationship. So if you don't like it, guess what? Just visualize. You are the story that you tell yourself. So now what do you want your new story to be? That's why I'm big on meditation. I meditate every day. Every day I live in my imagination. I'm thinking about what else do I want, and what else do I want, and what else do I want. And so I would tell that person, work harder on yourself than you do anything else, and know that you make yourself and you can break yourself. So decide, what is it going to be? You're going to make yourself or break yourself. And if you want to choose to continue breaking yourself, that's a little bit above my pay grade. So you may need to go see your pastor or your whoever you need to go see. But it's getting people to understand that, man, we got a choice, and it ain't easy. Like, if you go back and you think about all the hard work it took you to become Michael, it wasn't easy, but I bet you happy you did it.
Yeah,
100%. I remember when I first met you. You're a different person. That took a lot of work. First of all, you're confident. Your facial expression, like, you own who you are now. And that when I first met you, it wasn't like that. You know why you're doing it? Because you know what you know. And nobody can challenge what Michael knows that he knows. And so people got to get to a place that if you don't like yourself, what books are you reading? What do you see for yourself? If you see, listen, don't decide what life you're going to have based upon the life you have right now. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody probably will believe when I tell them I'm going to be a billionaire. You know, I'm going to build a subdivision. I'm going to have my own airplane. I don't have the money for none of that right now. I don't know nothing about no subdivision besides how to live in one. I don't know nothing about no airplane besides how to get on one. But I guarantee you, because whatever you think about with deep emotion will suddenly appear. So we got to change our thoughts, and we got to be very careful because our thoughts could play tricks on us. So it's about you getting in alignment with what is it that you really, 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 really want, and allowing that imagination to run free.
Yeah. And there's levels to this game, right? Yeah. That's the thing that, you know, almost eight years into Think Unbroken, but 13 years into my own healing journey. Like, honestly, Stormy, there's some days I wake up, I'm like, oh, I just figured out this thing this guy was telling me like 9 years ago,
But that goes back. That's the third level that we get to. You have to get to the place that you can reflect and say, oh my God, I saw this. I did this. Now I understand. If you ever go somewhere and I'll give you a great example. You didn't really embrace that you was on Grant Cardone's stage and he gave you this $10,000 until now. You enjoy it more now looking back at it than you did when you had experienced it.
Oh, for sure. 100%. And the thing that did was it built even deeper confidence that I'm one of the best public speakers in the entire world.
Come on.
Right. And to me, it's like, I'll tell you how that happened, actually. Stormy, I've visualized that moment 500 times, 1,000 times, 2,000 times, again and again and again. You said that you like to play in your imagination, and that really hit home to me because, like, when I was a kid on the streets, I'd be riding around on my bicycle at like 16 years old because I don't have any money. And I'd just be like, one day I'm going to buy a Cadillac, right? And now I've owned multiple. One day I'm going to wear custom suits. And now sometimes I wear them, even though I'm a jeans and t-shirt guy. And it was just like, I'm visualizing, not because I think you're going to understand what I'm going to say. It's not about the possession. It's about the journey to get there. And I think people will start the path, right? They'll be like, I hear you, Stormy. I got the three things. I'm going to start showing up. I'm going to change my mindset, read different books, listen to podcasts. I'm going to join one of Stormy's programs or Michael's programs. I'm going to do these things. And then they'll take two or three steps. And then they hit a wall. And then they revert back. How do you handle failure in your life? You said something that I think is so beautiful. You're like, I failed, so I know how to not fail. I failed, so I know how to succeed. I think failure is the most important piece of data one can extrapolate from. How do you fail? And then how is it that when you fail, that you keep going?
Wow, that's an amazing question. So my dad is 75, right? And so I asked him for words of wisdom, and it came in my spirit. So he said to me yesterday, I said, Dad, give me a word of wisdom. And he said, give me a minute. So he comes back. He said, okay. He said, success is not a destination. He says, failure is not final. And if you fall down, you can stand up and get up again. And I thought about that because the truth is, that's the best part of life, knowing that every successful person was once a failure. The best part of life is learning that you learn from your mistakes. But I think what is missing from a lot of people, because I had to develop this.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit BetterHelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report, the latest in mental health research.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
People got to learn to have a strong sense of dignity. And that's like a sense of knowing that you belong and you deserve. And I think that that's very important. So I believe that I deserve the best. And I realize that nobody is going to give it to me. You know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. And so being that person that realizes that if I don't do it, who's going to do it? Like,
yeah,
who is going to do it for me?
Nobody.
Nobody's going to work my body out for me. Nobody's going to drink this water for me. Nobody's going to take my vitamins for me. Nobody's going to, you know, put me in my $1 million mansion and buy my, like if I want these things, like I want it so bad, like, you know, E.T. says, you know, you got to want it as bad as you want to breathe. Like, I can't not have it. Because I would feel unfulfilled and I would not be proud of myself. I like to make myself proud of myself. I like to see that I fail and come back. Because that's the best thing to tell somebody, oh, you tripping, you did that and you quit. Oh, well, guess what I did? Try becoming a multimillionaire and going broke. Try that. You know?
Tried so it. I can't, not great.
You know what I mean? Not great. So it's like once you experience it, you can kind of like, and you're going to get this mic, right? If you've been depressed before, that's a blessing because you know you can feel depression trying to come in your body. Like, okay, wait a minute. I'm feeling that depression thing. I'm feeling something is trying to come. So experiencing things to me is the greatest teacher because you know what it feels like in your body. You know what anxiety feels like. You know, it's like when you lost weight, you know when you've gotten too skinny or you know when you're about to get back fat. You know when a guy not good for you or you know when a person not good for you. So I think the best thing is to experience it. So now, you know, it's like the blinker. You turn that blinker on in the car and mm-hmm. it's going to let you know, hello, either you're going to turn or turn me off or you're going to put the seatbelt on or either you're going to put it on or it's going to keep ding, 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 ding. So I think the experience allows you to know what it feels like so you know how not to do it again.
Yeah. I remember once somebody asked me like how I actually lost weight because, you know, I used to be 350 pounds and now I'm half way smaller than that. And,
oh my God.
And I realized something. I was 26 and I was looking at myself in the mirror, Stormy. I had a Cadillac CTS, you know, that bad boy 2 car. I'm going to age myself a little bit. I had some Sean John suits. I had some J's. Things were looking good for me. And yet I'm 350 pounds. I'm smoking 2 packs a day. I'm drinking myself to sleep. My girlfriend finds out I'm cheating on her with a bunch of these other girls. And my little brother tells me, I'll never talk to you again. You're not my brother. I had chased money entirely with no intention or clarity about anything else in life. And I was on a show recently and I really narrowed into this and they were like, how are you able to change all of this? I think you're going to understand this and I want to go a little bit deeper into it. I realized that the truth to life in the decision-making process, like what you were talking about, is not negotiating with yourself. Like, I do not negotiate with myself. I do not negotiate with my values. I do not negotiate with my dreams. On the days where I don't want to do it, Stormy, I make myself do it anyway. I don't care what it is. It is a commitment. It is a promise. It is something that I said to myself when I changed my life 13 years ago, no excuses, just results. But people, I think, play this trick on themselves and they go, tomorrow. I can do it tomorrow. I can change my life tomorrow. I can get rich tomorrow. I can be healthy tomorrow. How do you navigate that part of you that wants to negotiate when you're like, I'm good. I made a lot of money. I've helped a lot of people. I've spoken on a lot of stages. I had TV shows. Everybody knows my name. Like, how do you, when you're like in that moment of like facing, I'm going to chill and not do anything and it doesn't matter anymore versus this is my dream. Like, how do you keep going?
So first of all, I tell myself, you know, whatever I can't do, I must do, you know, and it's kind of funny because I had a conversation with Elena and I never forget this. I said, and I asked Grant and Elena this on two separate occasions. I said to Elena, like, what is the story that you tell yourself to keep going? And she was like, what? I said, what is the story that you tell yourself to keep going? She said, what do you mean? I don't tell myself a story. What do you mean? And I said, you know, when you feel like giving up or you don't feel like doing it. Or she was like, I don't tell myself anything. I just do it. And it clicked. When she said that to me, I said, she's done it so much. It's naturally who she is. I asked Grant the same question. And I said, what's the story you tell? This is months later. I said, what's the story that you tell yourself to keep going? Like, you're a billionaire. You have this, you have that. He was like, what? I said, what is the story? This is me and him just talking. We, and you know, this is not even in public. This is intimate conversation. He's like, I'll tell myself a story. I just do it. And I realized, and this is very strong, what I'm about to say. After a while, when you do it and do it and do it, that's why everybody has to get to a place where it's like creating a habit. Success and whatever it is that you want out of life, whether it's money or happiness or good health, or you have to do it so much that it becomes a natural part of who you are. Like, I'm not going to leave my house without brushing my teeth. I'm going to know that I did not brush my teeth. I could feel it. I could smell it. I could taste it. It's just morning breath, you know? And so we brush our teeth so much, we can't help ourselves. You know, it's like, we're going to do it. You may miss one shower, but you're not going to miss four or five. Like, it's naturally. So I've learned that whatever you can't do, you must do. And the goal is to do it so much that you could feel when you're not doing it. Like, I'm back in my network marketing bag, right? And I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, the money is not my driving force anymore. I mean, now I had to put a goal to what I'm doing, because when I first did it, my drive was, I got to pay the light bill. I got to pay the water bill. I got to pay the rent, the mortgage. I got to pay the car note. Now everything's on auto pay. I don't have a lot of overhead outside of my payroll. And if I decided that I wanted to just chill, good. But what happens when you know you made a promise to God about something? Mm-hmm. Some of us made some promises to our children, to our grandparents that may be deceased now, to our mom. And I just believe, like, what's inside of you subconsciously in that conscious mind, what is hardwired into your DNA, it just gets to a place where you may take a, like, how you're going crazy about your 6-week vacation. You don't understand how you're going to do it, because what you do now is what you do. So you are going to have a hard time because you're used to doing the things you do because it's a part of who you are. And so I've learned that I have to do what I got to do until it becomes a part of who I am. And so whether it takes me 6 weeks, 6 months, I've learned that if you do something long enough, suddenly it will become a part of who you are. And so that's why it's not the arrogant. It's just the confidence of, like, I haven't worked out in like 3 months because of my surgery. I had a major surgery and it's hard. Like, I find myself wanting to get up and go walk, but I had to really tell myself, you can't, because you could put yourself in the hospital. So guess what? If you don't work, you could put yourself in poverty. Same thing. Mm-hmm. So everything is the same. If you don't work out, if you work out, you're going to put yourself in the hospital. But when I can work out, if you don't work out, you're going to be obese and you can have heart issues like your mom. If you don't work, a man don't work, a man don't eat. You know, you made promises. So it's like things that are second nature to me is not second nature to most people, but it's all the inner work that I've done that got me to this place. And I would never stop because I know what it feels like to not do it. So therefore, whenever I can't do, I must do.
Yeah, I think about this very simple concept where it's like, I don't do what I want. I do what is required. And sure. And that's just such a mind game with yourself. And right. I fully believe this too, that by doing what is required, the thing that you know you need to do to have the life that you want to have is love. It's love. Because when you're not taking care of yourself, when you're not showing up, when you're not living in congruency, the universe feels it, right? Go look at your friends when you're failing. Go look at your health when you're failing. Go look at the bank account when you're not showing up and doing the thing that you're supposed to do. Love. Let's talk about this for a second, because a lot of kids who come from backgrounds like us become adults who don't love themselves. What does self-love mean to you?
First of all, self-love is embracing who I am and all of who I am. I'm not just, I'm a mom. And sometimes I turn mommy off. I'm a boss. Like I'm a boss. I pay a 7-figure payroll. I pay 7-figure taxes. You know, when I go out to eat, everybody expects me to pay the bill. Like I'm a real boss. Like I am that. I'm not in denial for that. I'm very feminine. I love love. I love love. I'm a big old boss, but I love my man to love on me and protect me. And, you know, to me, love is embracing everything that you are. I like nice stuff. I like travel. I like beautiful restaurants. I love beautiful people. I love beautiful conversations. So love is not depriving myself of all the things that make me feel amazing, no matter what somebody else's opinion of what I'm doing may be. It's accepting all of who I am and unapologetically embracing all of who I am. That's love for me. Mm. That's self-love.
Yeah. Yeah. When I resonate with that. I think that's really beautiful. When you're in this journey, when you reflect back, when you think about all of the things that have happened that have led you to where you are, you know, do you have anger towards those things? Have you let them go? Like, what is the biggest part of the healing journey for you that's allowed you to really step fully into who you are today?
You ask some good questions. The part of the healing journey for me is accepting that I attracted it all. It's not other people's fault. The people that betrayed me, I allowed them in my life. They betrayed me because they were supposed to betray me. Accepting the fact that everything that I experienced was a part of the journey. The people that left me, they should have left. Either I did something or they did something, regardless of what happened. I accept the fact that I played a role. Me, Stormy Nicole Wellington, I was talking to my assistant today and I was like, man, I used to be very aggressive. Very. I'm a feminine alpha now. I'm still assertive. I still know what I want, but I used to not have no filter. Like, no filter. Like, this is what it is. This is what it's going to be. If you don't like it, oh well. Now, I replay things in my mind and I ask myself, how does that make somebody feel? Yes, Stormy, she may be need to lose some weight, but is it nice to say you're fat? I would say that back in the day. Now, it's like, I still would say it, but I won't say you're fat. I'll say, you know, why don't you, you know, try drinking more water, you know, maybe take your cleanse at night, maybe stay away from meat or become. So I still would say the same thing, but I was saying it in a way in which it won't affect you. So I guess the thing for me is I accept the responsibility for everything that I experienced. Every person that came into my life that I shouldn't have let in, you know how we compromise, you know, our boundaries and our standards because we think people are going to change. No, I had no business letting some people in my life. I had no business being friends with you. I had no friends, no business allowing you in my house. So I got what I deserved. Like, I really believe I got what I deserved. Nothing I experienced, I didn't deserve it. Nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think that, to me, is the most amazing part of my healing journey because nothing was nobody else's fault. It was all my fault.
Accountability is really everything. And I'm not hearing you say, and I don't want people to misconstrue this. I'm not hearing you say I'm responsible for the things I went through in childhood, right?
No. Childhood, this is not childhood. This is, right. When we're children, we are our parents' responsibility. period, or whoever our caregivers are. I'm not talking to kids. I'm talking to 18, 19 and above. It is no longer nobody else's fault. And again, if you are mentally challenged, we give you grace. If you have mental issues, we give you grace. I'm talking to willing, able-bodied, you know, humans, okay, who could trigger and get to a place where they know better. So me, I am responsible for everything I did after the age of 18. Now, when I was 13 years old, I had no business in a strip club. Where was my mom? Where was my dad? When I was 16 years old, 15 years old, I had no business getting pregnant and having a child. I had two kids by the time I was 19. I had my son who turned 27 years old yesterday. Like, I'm still amazed that I got a whole grown human man that is my son. He's 27. I had it when I was 15. Yeah, that's my fault, but that's my mama's fault. Like, where you was at when I was having sex? Where you was at when I was with my boyfriend all the time? You was too busy. So no, that's different. But I'm talking to adults.
Yeah, I agree.
The working adults.
Yeah, and my hope is we can help them get unbroken. And it's like the radical responsibility you have, your candor, the way you think about the world, your mindset. These are the same principles I'm teaching people all the time, because I don't think you and I are somehow, we know something other people don't know. I don't know anything most people don't know, but I've become studious about learning, because the people I learned from when I was a kid were the drug dealers and the pimps. I watched my uncle in prison. I watched my family in prison. I watched the streets. I got kicked out of high school for selling drugs. Like, I get it. Like, I sit here and I look at this life and I go, I know where I'm supposed to be, Stormy, but I chose not to be another statistic, another guy in prison, another guy dead. But it is a mental battle every day. And that playing the victim is so easy. And we live in this weird society where we let each other off the hook all the time, where we sit here and we look at people's lives and go, oh, no, that's okay. I get it. You had a really hard childhood. I'm so sorry. Now your life sucks. Well, too bad. Good luck with the rest. How do you pull people out of victimhood? Like, I just want you to drop some real hard truth on them, because I think it's necessary. Like, how do you stop being a victim?
So, first of all, I do believe that we need more examples in the world. Like people like you and myself. Like, I can't wait to promote this interview. Like, I can't wait, because people need to know, like, when I see you, I would never think you anything negative happened to your life. Like, the things you're selling drugs and all that. Like, you don't, even your talk, you have a very professional vernacular. You have a very, you know, you're very articulate. I would never believe. So when I see you, if I was someone that's going through issues of life and all of that, first of all, I want more people to meet you, to see you, to hear your story. Same thing here. So I think that when I think about these particular people, it's like, first of all, you have to expose yourself to more. I think it's unfortunate that we don't realize the power in this. So there's five things that I tell people all the time that's necessary to create change. Five things. And I don't care what nobody says. I've seen from drug dealers to people that was about to commit suicide to people that was just by themselves, introverts to obese people, take these five things and create change. Number one, right? You got to change the words that you're saying to yourself. Like,
absolutely.
We have to. And now we live in a technology society where you can go to YouTube. You can find you a YouTube teacher. You can find you a Instagram coach, a mentor, right? Some of my coaches and mentors are dead. Zig Ziglar, I never met him. I never meet him. Napoleon Hill, I never meet him. Bob Proctor, unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him. You know, Les Brown, thank God I got to meet him, you know, 20 years after I first met him. So we have to know that the world is so resourceful, right? It's just so resourceful. So I would tell them to, like, quit playing. You know, quit playing. Quit denying yourself of the good that you desire. And I truly believe that adversity is a part of life. And I have an acronym or a saying that I say for this. It's adversity advances the assignment. Pass your test to your abundance. So adversity is a part of God's plan, you know, whoever you believe in. We all are going to have adversity, but can you imagine passing through the adversity and then you get to be advanced on your assignment, whatever that may be, because we all were allowed to experience Earth with a purpose. Nobody came here without having a purpose. And so I just believe that, you know, we got to stop playing victim. We got to look around at what we have and images. Number two is the images, the things you see. I'm really big on beautiful environments. You know, I send myself flowers every week. And I know people will say, yeah, you could afford it. But there was a time when I couldn't afford it. And I would go to Publix and I would buy a $6 thing of flowers because I wanted to feel like a queen. So I did these things when I didn't even have the money because, and everybody want to write this down, feeling good is a strategy. You got to figure out what makes you feel good and give it to yourself. I remember when I had a bunch of bracelets stacked on my wrist and they was those cheap plastic bracelets, that same different thing. I used to stack those bracelets on my wrist and imagine that it looked like this. And now I got a freaking $500,000 wrist today. And some days they get even more crazier. So it's about the words you speak, the images, your emotion. The third thing, you got to manage your emotion. Like,
yes,
listen,
absolutely.
Listen, you got to have emotional intelligence. You know, when logic is low, emotions are high. So you got to go and retrain the brain. And I know it sounds like, yeah. But I dropped out of school in the ninth grade, Mike. And I really dropped out in the eighth grade because I only went for 2 weeks in ninth grade. So nine just sounds good. So, like, I have every reason to not be the woman I am today.
Yep.
So the words you speak, the images, your emotions, you can't be easily moved and bothered. Like, I worked really, 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 really hard. And these are things I say to myself, right? Self-control is strength. Right thought is mastery. Calmness is power. Peace be still. I still have the ability to pop off. Listen, I could cuss somebody out real good. Like, I'm the girl that I learned. Like, I'm the cuss you out real good. But what is that going to do for my blood pressure? What is that going to do for my energy? What is that going to do for how I feel? Nothing.
Right.
So I do not allow myself to be led by my emotions. And anyone that can emotionally charge me for the negative, I watch them and I'll eventually cut them off. I used to be screaming and getting mad at people. I don't do all of that no more. So we got to have emotional intelligence. Environments. It is very important that you put yourself in new environments. And hear me out. An environment does not mean you have to physically go somewhere. An environment is in your mind. An environment could be you going to YouTube and watching Mike Bless and watching Michael Unbroken, his podcast. That could create an environment. You could be in a project. You could be living on an air mattress. And you could put yourself in a new environment right there on your air mattress on the floor. Like how you said, you imagine a Cadillac. You know, everything we have, we imagine it once. And so your imagination and also the environment that you put yourself in. And that's why I love when people do events. Like, I love events. I think that I wouldn't be the woman I am today if I didn't go into Tony Robbins' room. If I didn't go into Grant Cardone's room, if I didn't go into all these rooms with Eric Worre and Les Brown and just all these amazing network marketing events. So the fourth thing is to continue to understand that it's an environment that can be created, whether you go to the environment or the environment is in your mind. And then the last thing is experiences. Like, these are things that nobody taught us, but you have to have experiences. You gotta do things. You can't just, you know, wake up and live this boring routine life. You go to work, you come home, you know, you pick the kids up from school. All y'all eat is, you know, Golden Corral and Red Lobster. And no, go to the 5-star restaurant, even if you can't afford it, and go to the bar and order a $10 drink to look around and to see the people and the ooh and to see the cars. And so, you know, we have to give ourselves room to grow. And whoever needs to know, like, you cannot continue to play the victim because there's nobody that's going to come save you but you. And that knowingness should give you a drive to say, okay, let me take it one day at a time. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you decide that you're going to become something, you now have to take responsibility to do the work. And no matter how long it takes, just know that, you know, you think about a caterpillar and a butterfly. It's a process. You have to be willing to go through the process and know that only you can change you, and it should be done for you.
Yeah. Take them to church. like that, that's so much of this, the so beautiful and so well said. And those five steps that you just laid out there, those are, you could do all five of those for $100. And I don't want people to be missed out on this idea that they don't have the money to go to a Tony Robbins or a Grant Cardone. I mean, they have this podcast. You're live on Instagram more than any human I know. Like the access to information is there. The excuses are the things that are stopping you. And my hope is that, especially after today, that this incredible community will continue to step further and deeper into their journey, into their healing, into their truth, their power, their energy, their hope, love, and grace. My friend, this has been phenomenal. We could literally go for another hour easily. I'm just getting started with you. But obviously, I want to respect your time. Before I ask you my last question, where can everyone find you?
I thought it was a couple places. So you can find me on Instagram, as you said, Coach Stormy. I love Instagram. Instagram is where I met some of the most amazing people that in my life. Made a lot of money with people on Instagram. And I'm really on Instagram. So Coach Stormy with a Y. Of course, I got The Awakening coming up. I know that this is going to come out right when we're about to launch The Awakening. It's happening in Miami. Definitely, I encourage you guys to get in the environment that is going to awaken you. I don't care who you get into. Get into the right environment. So I've curated a 3-day event happening September 29th through October 1st. I also want to talk to you about it offline because I think it'd be great to have you maybe come interview me. And so that's happening in Miami. But everything that I do is always on Instagram at Coach Stormy and StormyWellington.com.
Amazing. And guys, thinkunbrokenpodcast.com. Look up Coach Stormy there on the website. There'll be this and more in the show notes for you. My friend, my last question for you. What does it mean to you to be unbroken?
To be unbroken is to be able to repair yourself from the things that broke you in the first place. And to accept the fact that it doesn't matter, you know, if you fall apart, you know, put yourself back together and just know that I believe that life is a series of getting broken and then repair yourself. It's not going to just be one time that you feel broken, but to be unbroken is to mean that you're going to consistently repair yourself, regardless if you're chipped, if you're cracked, or if you are just not together. Just know that it's going to be a series of break-ins that's going to happen in your life. But you got to decide that no matter what, you won't stay wherever you are. You know, as my dad said, you know, we fall down, we could get back up again. And to me, that's what being unbroken means. It means that you're never going to stay wherever you found yourself in a place of being called broken. So don't stay broken. Put yourself back together and repair yourself and move forward.
Brilliantly said, my friend. Thank you so much for being here. Unbroken Nation, thank you for listening. Please like, comment, share, tell a friend, subscribe on YouTube, and check me out on Instagram at Michael Unbroken. And remember, every time you share this, you're helping others transform their trauma to triumph, breakdowns to breakthroughs, and helping them become the hero of their own story. And until next time, my friends, be unbroken. I'll see ya. Thank you so much for listening to Think Unbroken. Please share this episode with someone who could use it and help us move forward in our mission of ending generational trauma in our lifetime. And if you would, please take 5 seconds to pop on iTunes or Spotify, hit that 5-star, leave a review, and you can also reach out to us on social at Michael Unbroken or at Think Unbroken. And of course, you can check out our YouTube channel at Think Unbroken. Thank you for being a part of Unbroken Nation, my friends, and until next time, be unbroken.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report. The latest in mental health research.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains May 2nd through the 12th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.